Grow Great, episode 4015. Will you make a better decision today? Refuse to stay stuck. Welcome to the Grow Great podcast, episode 4015. You can go to the website, growgreat.com, type in the number 4015, and it will take you to the show notes for today's episode. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here. Thanks for being here. Thanks for clicking play. CEOs and business owners and every other kind of top leader suffer losses. We all do. Businesses win, businesses lose, some ideas work, others don't. It can be very easy to gloat over the wins. Maybe it's easier to get depressed about the losses. It can sure be easy to dwell on the losses and grow angrier at the world, at the market, at the industry, at the competition. Cynicism runs rampant, and so does fiction. Last week, I talked quite a bit about beliefs and how we can get it wrong. Our wrongness, our losses, and all the other garbage that fuels our complaining. It's time for us. It's time for all of us to own it. Maybe we mostly see what we want to see. You know, the path to Complaintville is it's a very smooth road. It's easy. It's straight. And if only... Those are two powerful words that most of us use every now and again. They're stables in the vocabulary of the excuse makers. Well, if only this and if only that. But sometimes there is a valid reason for the loss, says a CEO. And he's right. He's right. There are sometimes valid reasons for losing. Expert economists and finance folks will tell you that our businesses go one of four ways. Well, maybe more than one, but there are four kinds of things that affect our businesses. One, our business mirrors the economy. Two, our business mirrors the industry. Three, there is some black swan event. Number four, we screwed up. It's that last one that we don't like to admit to. During my years of running luxury retailing companies, I would often hear other people in my space lament everything from the weather. Well, you know, business would be good, but boy, it's raining today. Or sometimes some big event that would be happening in their market. Here in Texas, we really kind of like to blame things, at least here in the DFW area, on the state fair. Well, you know, the state fair's in town. That's kind of hurting business. Well, the Cowboys lost. That hurts business. When you need a reason, an excuse, they're quite handy. Our minds are really creative like that. And as leaders of the enterprise, we can impact the outcome. Well, we'd better be able to. If our industry mirrors the economy, or if our company mirrors the industry, then, well, we can certainly affect an outcome for the better or for the worse. Your brilliance isn't always the culprit. I know you'd like to think that you're special in the brains department, and you might be, but not likely. You know, businesses are full of really smart people who still can't seem to get it right. Not always. And your experience, it's not always the culprit. In the early 70s, I started selling stereo gear, and the turntable was the source in every system I sold because customers bought vinyl records. It's what we did. It was our only music source. If you wanted to convert the music to tape, you had to purchase a reel-to-reel recorder. That was before 8-tracks and cassettes arrived. My experience in selling turntables, it stopped serving me when vinyl bit the dust. Well, okay, vinyl hasn't completely bitten the dust, but for the most part, it has. I could have done what some business owners and CEOs do. Fell in love with the earlier experiences, and now they're too romantic about it. You see it. Well, I mostly hear it. You see it whenever they begin to talk about the good old days when things were different. And sometimes that nostalgia can morph quickly into complaining. Those of us involved in business or organizational pursuits, leaders of companies and other enterprises, we recognize we're not all created equally. Our skills are, well, they're different. Our personalities, they're different as well. Our opportunities, those vary, along with our connections, how our parents raised us, how we see the world. You know, there is heredity and environment and natural aptitude, and they all matter in business careers just like they do in anything else. Entrepreneurship means being responsible. Now, I'm not talking about you necessarily being the CEO who is also the founder. And maybe there is something special to a CEO who is also a founder as opposed to a CEO who is a hired gun. But just stick with me. This notion of entrepreneurship, it's a wildly popular notion. The true meaning is taking financial responsibility for the outcome. And it's what we do running our businesses. That whole taking responsibility, it can be tough. And it can be painful when things aren't going so well. We enjoy getting the credit for the win, and we also enjoy finding an excuse when we don't get the win. And that's why some people inside businesses are blamers. You know, whenever there's a problem or things didn't go according to plan, they're the ones that want to make it the priority to find out who's at fault. They're also the excuse makers. And they can poison us. They can poison the whole culture that we're trying to create. I've sat in far too many meetings where a blamer tried to hijack the meeting. So, well, sometimes they don't try. They do hijack a meeting. They only care about one thing. Let's find out who's at fault here. And it's distracting. And it wastes time that would be better spent solving the problem or coming up with some improvement of a process or a system. I mean, anything that could be more positive. And besides, we usually know the team members who didn't perform well, the ones that didn't contribute. Maybe they're not to blame entirely, but they're not helpful in moving us forward. And during a crisis or during some time when we're trying to solve a problem or make an improvement, probably is not the ideal time to be distracted in finding somebody to blame. I mean, there's time for that later. I'm not fond, personally, of accessing people problems during such times because I want to make sure I'm doing the right thing in the right way at the right time. And unless somebody has done something illegal or violated some non-negotiable standard that I have set, like, you know, honesty issues, drug or alcohol issues, violence in the workplace, stuff like that, I'm going to tap the brakes. I'm going to make a personnel decision at some other more appropriate time. But all this scorekeeping thing is mostly about our own performance, not somebody else's, including our team members. The scorekeeping is more personal, less an enterprise kind of a thing. And you need to keep score in your business. I mean, whatever KPIs you have established, they are the ones that likely serve you well. Maybe there are better ones. Maybe you can improve on the ones that are in place. But the ones that are in place, they're there because they're serving you to some degree of goodness, or you wouldn't have them. And a subset of those KPIs are the ones that are personal to you, the ones that you can affect. And as a CEO, you can affect them all, if not directly, indirectly. Jack Canfield said, "Everything you want is on the other side of fear." And boy, don't we know that that's right. But there is fear in the C-suite. We mostly buy into the belief, never let them see you sweat, you know, because vulnerability, that's not, well, it's not popularized in mass media, certainly not when you're the top leader of an enterprise, because instead what we see is the jerk who operates like a maniac, driving people to some mythical level of achievement. We like that. That's the hero. He's the hero. You know, this guy who just, he doesn't suffer anybody, fools or otherwise. And we like to make a correlation between the personality and the performance. I just don't buy it. I mean, maybe you do. I don't. I mean, there are too many good people leading good enterprises and creating value at every turn. But CEOs can be driven by their fear and sometimes that fear drives us to be jerks. Patience runs thin. We're creepy and a jerk to be around. The highest value is found in being human. And that sounds profound, doesn't it? And ridiculously simple, but it's not. People connect with real people. And when the real person is at the top of the food chain, it's even more powerful. If you don't think so, then let me introduce you to a man that I have long admired, Jim Goodnight. He is the CEO and founder of SAS. Mr. Goodnight said, treat employees like they make a difference, and they will. In fact, you can go to his company's website and you'll see that quote on the website. And Goodnight is not a maniac on a mission who will step on anybody and everybody to get his way. No, that's not who he is. He's a real guy who understands that his employees have real passions, drives, desires, professionally and personally, and he takes care of his people. And as a result, they take great care of the business. I mean, the man has got a solid grip on how powerful people are in helping build a great business. And he's built a great business, a multi-billion dollar business. He keeps working. And he's been doing it successfully since he started the company in 1976. Yeah, I'm sure he's had his ups and his downs, just like you and me. He's won a bunch. He's lost a few, maybe more than a few. But boy, is he an ideal example of a CEO and a founder who just keeps working on it. I don't know him personally, but I can promise you that he's afraid of many things just like us. I mean, how could he not be? Running a multi-billion dollar business might even elevate his fears to a level that I certainly don't profess to understand. He's in touch with his own humanity, though, and his own vulnerability. And that's why he's a great leader devoted to his employees. I'm going to embed a video where he's interviewed and he's talking about great employee benefits and why he believes so deeply in them. And if you want to learn more, just type his name into the search bar over at YouTube and you're going to see some terrific interviews. He just seems like a great, great guy to work for. You want to be that kind of a CEO. I want to be that kind of a CEO. Well, past wins are the problem. Maybe. I mean, here's the point of it all. CEOs may be among the most vulnerable people on the planet to fall in love with a past win. Mostly, I think we are by nature an optimistic bunch. I mean, we focus on the possible. Our work involves solving problems that vex other people. We thrive on the stress of knowing that there's a lot on the line. It's what we do. It's why we have the role. But I don't want you to misunderstand the point of today's show, because it's not an indictment of keeping score. It certainly is not a show against celebrating victories, because frankly, too many of us don't do that enough. We lean on our people to produce better results today after we refuse to let them enjoy the win yesterday. We don't give our people chances to breathe. It's a big mistake. No, the point is that we need to live in the present and operate our business today. And I hope you had great success yesterday. And I hope you led the parade for your people to celebrate it. But if you didn't win yesterday, I hope that you don't get distracted by that today. And I really hope that you're not cracking a whip today, berating your people over what they didn't get done yesterday. Instead, I hope you're using today to get the work done better. Because it's about doing the work well, always, without fail, without excuse, without letting fear stop us. Or romance. Romance? Yeah, romance. You heard it right. I mean, romance is where keeping score can really mess us up. It's where our decision-making can really take a hit. If we fall in love with our ideas and our successes of the past, sometimes we fall in love with the players of the past. The opportunities today, they don't much care about any of that, though. I mean, today's challenges, today's issues, and today's opportunities, they need our focus in this present moment. So if we're locked into the scores that we've accomplished in the past, then we're going to fail to maximize today. Ditto for the past failures. So whatever messes and whatever misses and whatever losses make up our past, they really don't have any bearing on today. I mean, unless we let them. It's not merely head noise. It's focus and it's a way of thinking because we get stuck. We get stuck in a paradigm. We don't stretch the possibilities sometimes because we don't know how. And so in our decision making, we fool ourselves into thinking that what once worked, it'll still work. And sometimes our decision making takes a hit because we look back at the past and we realize, well, that didn't work the first time, and so it'll never work. It's not necessarily true. But if we believe it, it may as well be true. A major hurdle of doing the work is to be willing to change our beliefs. And that requires an openness, a vulnerability, an honesty, and a willingness that only the rarest of CEOs have. CEO peer groups serve the very, very best. And this is why I do the work I do as a Vistage chair. It's the driving force behind my service to CEOs, business owners, and other top executives. And I know it's not for everybody. And I know not everybody understands it. Not everybody believes in it. That's fine. It's perfectly fine. In fact, it's better than fine because extraordinary means not ordinary. I mean, if it was for everybody, then it wouldn't likely have the value or the remarkability that it does. Can you imagine, as a CEO, can you imagine sitting in a room filled with other CEOs who come from a variety of other industries with different viewpoints and personalities and just one agenda? To help you win today, to help you make a better decision today. I mean, it's the remedy for being stuck. And it doesn't matter if you're stuck with victories or you're stuck with losses. It's the remedy for the industry groupthink that plagues every one of us. I don't care what space you're in. Your space has got trade rags and associations and conventions and meetings and problems and opportunities. And we're all steeped in the industry to which we belong. Can't be helped. But it can be overlooked and overcome in ways that serve us to make better decisions. Yes, it can. Now, it can be hard, but it can be done. Mostly by other CEOs who are able to question and offer us feedback that makes us think and consider new ideas, different perspectives, additional possibilities. But you know what it takes? Courage. No, it demands courage. The courage to be helped and the courage to help others, because that's the only purpose or reason for being. It's why CEO peer advisory groups are highly valuable and why only the rarest of the rare experience them. Courage isn't so common in the C-suite. Tradition is. And so your leadership hinges on making the best decisions possible today. I mean, that's the name of the game for every CEO. You can fly alone and you can gut it out, or you can get unstuck and you can find heights that you never thought possible. Lately, I have been seeing some geese fly over my house. You can hear them honking as they fly over. It's really cool. Small groups of them flying in a formation, sometimes big groups of them, but always in a group. Because they know today's distance is going to be determined by going together. I mean, how can geese be smarter than we are as CEOs? Sometimes they are. Because as CEOs, we can be stuck working by ourselves. Or we can embrace this novel but powerful and even natural solution, the practice of joining forces with other CEOs who can help us. And so I'm going to end with a challenge to you. And the challenge is very simply this: consider breaking free. Me, I represent Vistage, and maybe it's a good fit for you, maybe not. Doesn't matter. Just give yourself a chance to find what suits and best serves you. Because the work continues, and it depends on you and your leadership. It's about answering the question, will you make a better decision today? Will you refuse to stay stuck, even if you're stuck in victories? Even if you're stuck in what got you here, full well knowing it may not get you there. it may not work tomorrow. And what didn't work yesterday, you know what? That very well may work today. It's episode 4015. You just heard it. You can find the show notes by going to the website growgreat.com. Plug in the number 4015. You can see that video of Jim Goodnight and a link to his company website. It's a terrific story. If you haven't researched him, I would encourage you to do that. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. I hope you'll subscribe and tell a friend. Brought to you, as always, by my company, Bula Network, LLC. Bula Network is an executive coaching and consultancy boutique. Also doing some work as a Vistage chair, serving CEOs in the DFW area. If that happens to be you, or if you're interested in learning more about Vistage, even if you're not in the area, I can hook you up. Just go to the website, growgreat.com. Click on the tab that says Vistage, V-I-S-T-A-G-E. Coming to you from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, my name is Randy Cantrell. I'm glad that you're here. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio.